77 people died, but 69 people died at the island, at the youth camp. It was a youth camp for politically engaged youth in the Labour Party's youth organization. Earlier that day, a bomb went off in the city of Oslo. We were discussing, is this really a bomb? We really never thought that, because it's Norway. Why would someone blow a bomb off in the center of Oslo? But then this guy came to the island. He said he was police, but then he was the terrorist. And he pretended to be police, so he got over and he killed a lot of people amongst our friends and the adults. And what happened to me is that I really never looked back. I just ran, tried to help people, and then I had to swim. So I got pretty early over to the land side. And that's when we realized the seriousness of this.
Were many other people swimming next to you?
One person was swimming next to me. I helped a kid who was 15 years old, said he was going to swim. And I was like, I can't let you swim alone. So I swam with him.
If he wasn't going to swim, you may not have swam yourself?
That's true. I wasn't a good swimmer. So I had to decide how I want to die. Do I want to get shot or do I want to drown? Sort of felt like less hurtful to drown.
Did the 15-year-old boy make it okay?
He did. He could swim much easier than me. He was well trained. And he could swim backwards. He could see Breivik when we were 10 meters in the water. And the reason why he didn't shoot at us is because he was shooting the kids who didn't want to swim, who were sitting on those rocks. That's why we survived, because someone else were killed. Otherwise, he would have pointed at us because we were just 10 meters from him.
How far was the swim?
Well, the distance from that point to the landslide was 600 meters, and I think we swam almost like 400 meters that day.
How have you dealt with the after effect?
I am always been a fighter, and from day one, we just wanted to find out who died, who didn't. It was unimaginable to believe that some of my best friends could die, and they did. So the next step was just to, I'm going to fight this hate. I'm going to fight this values that creates the hate, creates people who just want to kill people to prove a point. And I've been like that ever since. Of course, I've cried. Of course, I had my time of sorrow, but it doesn't bring my friends back. And it's my responsibility as a politician and as deputy mayor in Oslo to make sure that whatever created Breivik does not create another Breivik in my city. And that's a responsibility I live up to every day.
After going through such an ordeal, what made you choose to become a public figure?
Because we have a responsibility. I live in one of the world's best countries, Norway, and the happiest people in the world live in Norway. Oslo is one of the fastest growing capitals in Europe. We are so privileged. Really, my opinion is that if not me, then who? And if not now, when? It's my responsibility, and I also think it's a responsibility for every person around me.
Has this affected in any way how you behave in crowded events or situations?
No, I dealt with those things pretty early. We had to run through the woods. We had to swim. And I remember being so cautious about it right after that, because I read about people who survived terrorist attacks and war. And I was like, what if I someday wouldn't be able to run through the woods? Or what if I someday wouldn't be able to swim? So that's something I did early, like the first weeks after the terrorist attacks, just get into the woods and took a swim and then just went home or just went for a run, because I was never ever going to be stopped by this terrorist. So I dealt with it immediately. And that's just a message out to everyone who might experience something like this, is to deal with your problems. Nobody's going to do that for you.
Do you consider yourself a victim or a survivor?
I think both victim and survivor is understood differently. Maybe I am a victim because I experienced this. Maybe I am a survivor because I'm dealing with it and I'm moving forward. But I think the most important thing is that the terminology is not going to increase or decrease amount of help or amount of whatever you can get. It's supposed to be dependent on you as individual, you as a person.
What would you say to someone who is terrified to get on a plane?
They want to make sure that we are frightened and that we don't want to speak with each other. So that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to make those terrorists even more mad by talking to each other, meeting each other, and meet that fear. That's exactly what we should do.